Welcome to Central Point Podcast, episode one. We made it, we're here. As we start, please forgive me. I made a bit of a rookie mistake and I really underestimated how sensitive this mic is. And because I'm holding it, I tap it, I move it, and the mic picked up all those little movements. It isn't throughout the episode, not at all, but it does come in at time to time. It will not be there in the episodes after this one. I just wanted to let you know. Thank you for being here, and I pray that you enjoy this episode. I can't believe I'm actually starting. Hi, and welcome to the first episode of Central Point Podcast. For those who are just listening on the podcast platforms, I did a little silent scream handshake moment because it's the hardest thing to do is start, and I am here and I'm just so grateful to God. So I just want to give God a word of praise. Thank you, Father, for starting this off, for putting it on my heart, and thank you for being here to listen in, to join me basically in delighting. Delighting in being a daughter, a child of God. This is by no means only for daughters. This is for sons as well. This is for God's children. I wanted to create a space where you can just center in on who you are in Christ. It's just that simple. Where you are reminded constantly that you are a child. And it sounds very simple, but I think it is imperative. I believe it is so important. We hear all the time in church that our identity is in Christ. You know, it's repeated in services, in youth services, in conferences. I think sometimes we can forget. Even though we repeat it, we can forget how vital it is to see ourselves correctly. It's just as important as seeing the Father correctly, because you are a child of this Father. You're a child of this magnificent, magnificently good God. And so I hope that as you journey with me over the weeks, as you allow yourself the time to listen to scripture, hear who you are, and just walk in the thanksgiving of it. Now, where I'm starting with this, people might not get, but I'm hoping by the end of it, you will get it and you'll be like, okay, this works. Because during a youth service at a church, the question was posed, identity in Christ was the start of their theme of last year. And the question was posed, who in the Bible had an identity crisis, right? And I shot up my hand to get on the mic and I said, Eve. And you might be like the majority of those who were in church and be looking sideways. You might have frowned. You might have said, huh? Or you might have been like my dad, who was the only person who supported me and started nodding your head, maybe understanding where I am coming from. But if you are like the majority, allow me to explain myself for a moment. I'm going to read from Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. I'm going to read it in the New King James Version, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version, and then I'm going to get into why I believe Eve fits into this. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle,
over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
I'm going to repeat that in the Amplified version.
Then God said, let us, brackets, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, close brackets, make man in our image, according to our likeness, not physical, but a spiritual personality and moral likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. Verse 27. And so God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So here we are.
God has decided he is going to make man and woman in his likeness. Not physical, right? But a spiritual personality and moral likeness.
Wow.
I love it. I love it. Now let's forward to the temptation. Because what does the devil say? What does the serpent say to Eve about the fruit? I'm going to read from Genesis 3.
Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.
Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. I'll continue to verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, disclaimer, it wasn't, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate.
I'm going to backtrack to verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Question. Was Eve not already like God? I want you to think about that for a moment. Was she not already like God? Now you could say, well, she didn't know good and evil. I didn't say, was she completely like God? She wasn't God. God is infinite. But was she not already like God? When the serpent said, like God, she could have thought, I'm already like God. So you might have never heard that before or thought about it in that way. But I do want to challenge you to think like this for a moment. If Eve trusted that she was already like God, let's forget that God already said no. You know, he already said no. It's a command, but there's a whole bunch of teachings on the commandments of God and listening to God and obeying God and seeing differently. This is not what this episode's about. This is about identity. who God has said we are, who God has made us to be, and us. Leaning into counterfeits or positioning ourselves less than who we are and then seeking a way of becoming who we are via counterfeits or via other means. If evil would have stopped and known, wait, I have authority over you, I have authority over all animals. And I am already like God. And this good and evil that you talk about, that God knows, what God wants me to know, I'm sure he will not keep from me. He's already given Adam and I the entire world. World. I think about that. And I think about the major shift that happened when she relied on something else for wisdom. When she lost sight of who she is already. All the time that Adam and Eve would spend with God, I'm sure, they would have grown wise. Because even after they should surely die, God came looking for them, did he not? In the garden, when they had fallen. God didn't stay away. God didn't say from above, make his voice known, made it thunder, like he did on Mount Sinai, you know, when he spoke the commandments. He didn't speak from afar. He came down. He came down, knowing full well what they had done, and sought them out to talk to them. And these children of God. Ooh, something just came to me that I want to read as I was talking about them being children of God, right? In Luke chapter 3, the genealogy of Christ is given. From verse 23, it starts off with, "Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli." Now I'm going to skip all the way down to the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Okay. I just wanted to read that. It came to me as I was saying, because they were children of God, right? So going back to God coming to his children, to seek out his children. His children now, at this point, have run away from him. Because they are aware they're naked, they feel shame. They are now running away from their father instead of to their father, because something has shifted. In Genesis 3 verse 8, and still reading from the NKJV, it says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Look at that imagery. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Wouldn't you just love the Lord to just come on by? Today was a beautiful day. The sun was shining, but it was still crispy. It was a really beautiful winter day. Oh, goodness, if the Lord just came on by and walked beside me. I don't know. I'd start screaming, faint, get back up, give him a big squeeze. Because there's a difference now. I've been redeemed. I think I'm skipping, but like, just me now basking in who I am in Christ. And it's like, yay. Come Lord, stand by me. Continuing the verse, "And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." I don't know if you've considered what positioning yourself less than child might have you do, act, say, contrary to who God has said you are, what God has done,
achieved through Christ for you. That we are able to say, Abba, Father, right? Our lives are now hid in Christ.
And we're going to go over this over the weeks, and we're just going to
bask in how good this is. But from the very beginning where God has given authority, where God has already made them in the likeness, returning to the Amplified Version, spiritual personality and moral likeness, right? When you position yourself less than child, you also position others less than child. We have two commandments, right? Love the Lord your God with all of yourself. And love your neighbour as yourself. Tell me, if you cannot see yourself as child and walk that way, love a beloved child, let's go, a beloved child, how can you treat and love someone else as such also? Because the Bible tells us, whilst we were, W-E-R-E, were still sinners, Christ died for us. Are you able to look at someone who has not yet taken hold of the good gospel, taking hold of the good news of Jesus? Are you able to look at them and go, but there's a whole child of God not picked up their adoption papers just yet? They don't know. Or because you have kept yourself in a sort of sinner mindset, you talk to yourself a certain way, and in your head you're being humble. If I see myself less than what God says I am, somehow it's humility. I'd like to counter that and say it is far more humble to believe God. And humbling to go, I'm a child of God, living by grace. I'm a beloved child of God. Understand the magnitude of identity. Centering on Christ and who he has said we are, what he has done for us. The central point is you are a child of the creator of the universe. And I don't know about you, but for me, that fills me with a whole lot of joy. A magnificent amount of joy. And speaking of Christ as creator, how wonderful. I'm going to read, and this is the New King James Version still. It's Colossians 1, verse 13. This is talking about Jesus, right? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. The firstborn over all creation. Verse 16. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist.
And he is the head of the body, hallelujah, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. We're talking about the one,
right,
who spoke in Genesis. Let us make man in our image. The one that came back to make sure we are reconciled back to the state Adam lost. I don't know about you, but that is magnificent, that the one who created, the one who spoke, that same one came back, no, came, he's coming back, hallelujah, to put us back into the condition that the most faithful God intended for us. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. Maybe I'm simple. I don't know. But it is this simple truth that I think we've heard so many times that we can become kind of dull of hearing of it. That we can become, we can almost take it for granted. Even the absolute privilege to be called child of God. Think about it for a moment. Let's take this into the earth for a moment, right? Input name of billionaire here. Input name of highly influential human on earth here, right? They have children. This person probably feels very much entitled to some level of, I don't know, authority, protection, security, whatever. They will probably proudly say, my mom, my dad is X, Y, Z, right? And so they hold themselves a certain way, depending on the character of the child, you know. But they hold themselves a certain way. They say it with a certain confidence. In some areas, they may think they're kind of a little bit untouchable. I don't know. You are the child of the one who knows every star in that sky. You are a child of the one who created the known and unknown universe. Let it sink in. Allow yourself to meditate on that for a bit. What does it mean? How seen are you? How heard are you? How beloved are you? Jesus dwells within us. Do you know how in awe of your God, of your Father, you could be if you allowed yourself, if you really allowed yourself to position yourself always as child, living by grace? Not just any child of anybody, but a child of love itself. You might be surprised how you speak differently, how you think differently, how you see differently. And in real time, as you catch yourself speaking a different way, seeing a different way, acting a different way, your mind is blown. And then you realise, oh, that's Christ in me. There's that child of God that I get to walk as on this earth. It's beautiful. So yes, from the very beginning, I would say, unknown to her, there was an identity crisis. There was a turning away from who she was. So child of God, how are you going to walk out this year? I'm going to be with you. Because it's a reminder I need. I'm going to be with you. I'm very much looking forward to just delighting for however long on the multiple examples of a child of God. Focusing on the Father who we're a child of. Allow myself to sit in that reality and bask in that reality because it is the reality. My joy has been so full when something just clicked for me last year. I received the gospel last year. I saw how good God is. I saw myself clearer, and I'm sure I will share my testimony probably on my other page, not on this podcast. Little plug, Shireen Speaks Life is an Instagram that is sharing of Jesus, but in a different way. This podcast is to center in. But yeah, I will be sharing my testimony of my journey in this and why I am so passionate about seeing clearly. It is a beautiful thing to set your mind on heavenly things. And would you believe that one of those heavenly things to set your mind on is who you are in Christ? I want to pray for you. I will be closing these episodes in prayer. I do hope this was helpful. I hope it is giving you a taste of what's to come. And maybe you haven't deeped your identity. Maybe you have deeped your identity and you're like, you agree and you believe it's super important, so you're happy to be here and go over it and over it and over it. Because we wake up daily by His grace. And we must see ourselves through His eyes. So that's that. Thank you for being here. I'm going to pray. Most kind and gracious Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much that you are not man, that you should lie. Thank you for everyone who is listening or watching this episode, Father God. You know their hearts, you know their minds, you know their thoughts at this time, dear Lord. I pray that whatever resonated with them, that they would go and just go into the secret place with you and look at those areas that were brought up by your Spirit. Thank you that we have this precious privilege to be your children.
to walk as your children here on earth presently, to experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, to speak your words, to be your hands, to delight here presently in the reality of beloved. Be with everyone's week, if they're listening at the beginning of the week, be with everyone's day, dear Lord. I pray that they allow themselves to delight in who you have said they are. Thank you for loving them. Thank you for keeping them. Thank you for watching over them. And I thank you for the healing that will come from the quality time spent with the most perfect. We are just so grateful, dear Lord. We are so grateful that you did it. That you did what you promised you would do. And we have this fantastic, wonderful, beautiful hope of your magnificent return. Thank you for being just too good. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if I introduced myself. But if I did not, hi, I am Shireen. And thank you for listening in on the very first episode of Central Point Podcast. I am so grateful. I am looking forward to the next one. we're gonna hopefully have some fun and just reading the word, delighting, celebrating, centering, and basking in the absolute goodness of God. I'll see you next week. Take care.